Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Very good morning to you, Namibia. So, welcome to Eagle FM. It's a Tuesday morning, the 15th of the 7th month, 15th of July. We actually right in the middle of the month. Hey, the year is, I don't know where it's running to. But it is running. It is running very, very fast. And a very good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So how is your morning? So how is your morning so far? Hopefully it's good morning, as good as mine, better even, maybe better than mine. I don't think it's going to be better than mine. So good morning and welcome to your number one talk radio stations. And thanks for making sure that we are your number one choice this morning. And we love to be in your company, especially at this very time. So it's about 35 minutes past the hour of 7. And thanks to David for Early Morning Scoop and the other programs that comes much, much, much earlier than that. So, and continue to listen to Eagle FM. So I will be with you until the hour of 9:30. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversations. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome to Unpack, and let's do this together. So today is the 15th, and our first segment is On This Day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa on the 15th of July? So, well, UN troops enter Katanga province, that is in Democratic Republic of Congo, amid the political crisis following Congo's independence. The United Nations forces were deployed on 15th of July 1960 to Katanga province. So the UN mission responded to the secessionist declaration by Moise Tshombe, acting on the request of Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba. So, and on the very same day in 1799, this is quite in which century is that one? So in 1799, this was now the discovery of the Rosetta Stone. The Rosetta Stone, which became crucial for deciphering ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, so was found in the village of Rosetta, now is Rashid, so during the Napoleon campaign in Egypt. So this discovery was pivotal in understanding the ancient Egyptian civilians. Civilization and language. So the Rosetta Stone. And in 1994, the 100-day Rwandan genocide, one of the bloodiest events of the 20th century, effectively ended on July 15th, 1994, when thousands of the Hutus fled to Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of Congo, as the Rwandan Patriotic Front took control, making a tragic marking a tragic but significant turning point in Rwandan and African history. So that's all we have for you in this day, on this day in Africa. Those are some of the significant event that has happened on the 15th of July in Africa. So, Tuesday, what is the thought of the day? What is the thought for the day today on the 15th of July? So, what reveals a man is his behavior in time of hunger. What reveals a man is his behavior in times of hunger. The problem is that a person's true character, values, patience, empathy, integrity, so become most visible when they are in need or under pressure. Okay. So in terms of scarcity or challenge, superficial manners or social niceties drop away. People being nice, that drops away. So, and what is left is how they really act when resources are limited. So this proverb is not just about literally hunger. So it's extend to any form of pressure, like any form of pressure or challenge or a need. So the way someone behaves when under strain is a reliable indicator of their real self. So this proverb, it's a reminder to notice not just what people say, but how they act when circumstances are tough. So if you want to know how the men behave and their true characters, what reveals a man is in his behavior. So what reveals a man is his behavior in time of hunger. So that's our thought for the day. So hope that would help you to really be able to identify the, if you want to test the person's, you know, who they really are, apparently, and according to these proverbs, test them during the times of when they are under pressure. So see them when they're under pressure, not just when they're in good times. See them when they're under pressure. That's actually the test of true characters and true values and patience and empathy and integrity of the persons. So do that. So what reveals a man is his behavior in terms of hunger. So that's our thought for the day. So hopefully, what is time? 42 minutes past the hour of 7. You could be on your way to work, and we still, you know, encouraging those are not those who still don't, you're not listening us through the frequency, and the frequency that you actually use to, please make sure that you stay connected with Eagle FM. You can still stay connected with Eagle FM anywhere, anytime, wherever you are. You can listen to Eagle FM through Eagle FM website. So if you go to your office, well, get to your computer. And as you do your work in the background, you can listen to Eagle FM through your website and also through Eagle FM mobile app. So which you can download. And tell your friend or someone who is not listening, who is not hearing us at this point in time through the frequencies. You can download the Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play or Play Stores. And as I always said, it's also for those who are on the go. I'm the kind of person that is on the go. I can only listen when I'm on the radio, but I can go, you know, and be able to listen, you know, wherever I am, if I have my app, so I can listen to the podcast. I don't have to listen at that point in time, but later on I can listen to podcasts, to the news, you know, and be also. The other thing is also, sometime on that app, if you're a young person, there are also vacancies. So do that. And we are preparing for elections in November. It's not that far away. So go back to the political parties' manifestos. Go and check those political party manifestos. They are still there. They are still, those information are still there. And we are in Ndonga. We are in Ndangwa. And we are in Ndonga Traditional Authorities area. So Mpango, Dereroja Ndonga, you can also find them there. Just to get yourself, acquaint yourself with these laws and statutes and the rules and, you know, so that you know. When you are in Ndonga, traditional boundaries, so you know exactly how to behave, all right? So, all right, so go there, go and also check also the 2023 Namibian population. Remind yourself what was those, the statistics and information, so for decision-making and so on, so... Yeah, and economic growth. So those statistic, population, Namibian population, and housing census report is still there. Those are some of, I'm just highlighting some of the things that you can find on our app. So as always, please do follow Eagle FM and the Villager on our media, social media platform. You can follow us on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Telegram, on so many, on WhatsApp. So, and the most important things is we want you to engage us, you know, on those social media platforms. So make sure you leave a like or a comment or, you know, or that, I always said, that love signs. Or follow us. Make sure that you follow us. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we publish the Villager. So, and if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, make sure that you get yourself a free copy of the Villager. So, and it's quite simple. First of all, it's free, absolute free, a free copy of the Villager. So, and secondly, it's quite simple. All what you need to do, send your WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. And be sure, because we don't want you, who is this one? You know, so be sure that you save that as the contact number and name it the Villager. All right. So it comes to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. All right. So, and for those that have important event or you have a business that you want to advertise, it doesn't matter who you are. So whether you're just starting your business now and you just want to know and you just want to tell people, hey, this is the place of my business, please do come around. It doesn't matter how small is the business or how big is this business. So if you want to advertise your business or have or you have an event or a function or a workshop or a conference or even just want to, you know, a real time when something is happening at the real time and you want to expose your event in real time, you know, via maybe live streaming or broadcastings. So now we can be able to help you to do that. So all what you need to do, it's Tuesday already. By 8 o'clock, the office is open. Dial that number. Office number 083-288-400. 083-288-400. Do that, and I guarantee you will be smiling at the end of that. And your business will be booming. All right. So welcome if you just joining us. So let's have this quick commercial break and then we come back. We get into what we have prepared for you. So stay tuned and we will be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good morning and welcome to your favorite talk radio station, Eagle FM. So, and thanks for joining us and for choosing us this morning to be in your company, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So how is the weather actually? So how is the weather so far? I think it's getting better. Winter is becoming short. So maybe yesterday we were talking about a bit of climate change in terms of agriculture. So there's so much changing really. And, we need our climatologists. How do you call them? Are they climatologists? I'm not sure if I'm right. So, but wherever those guys scientists in a climate, we need to know what is happening and how do we can create, how we can become resilient, in climate changes that are happening in our country. So we shouldn't be waiting other people coming from other countries to come and tell us what is going on in our own country. So those who are at UNAM and those who have already get out of UNAM, so in that field, please make sure that you feed us with the right informations. Just as we do now, today we go to Okavango. We go to Okavango, and we are looking at the RICO Africa. The RICO Africa. This is the Canadian oil company that has been in the news for its exploration activity in the Kavango Basin. Now, a recent report by the Parliamentary Standing Committee on the natural resources has revealed some troubling details. So it has revealed some troubling details, which we are going to dissect this morning together. Okay? So because they are troubling and we need to take that seriously. All right? So first of all, who is Recon Africa? So, and what are they doing here? Who is Recon Africa and what are they doing here? Well, Recon Africa is a Canadian oil and gas company that has been exploring for oil, in the Kavango Basin since early 2021. So the Kavango Basin, as we know, as many of you know, is a sensitive and ecological rich area. So, and home to the iconic Kavango Delta. So this is actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site. So now the crack of the matter is that the RICO Africa started drilling without the proper permits or leasehold at least. You know? So now, that's right. That's right. So imagine, in a very sensitive and ecological rich area, you know, that someone actually have started to drilling without a proper permit and or a leasehold. So they began operation in January 2021, but the necessary legal documents were only sorted out much later. So now,
great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana naana longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifaa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by...
All right. Just some technical hiccups a little bit. All right. Now, let's start off again. So, all right. I'm not too sure what I'm... So, yes, I'm not too sure what is going on.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Great news. IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMPA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMPA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chika osha faa sana naana alongeshi faa ya eshiwike moshi wana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshi faa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandito mwa yoe yongeshi faa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onora heta tuimwe. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! IMPA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMPA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMPA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMPA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend.
Well, A very good morning to you if you're just joining us, and we apologize for that little hiccups a little bit. So yeah, we just sort that out. So welcome back. So our time is about 3 minutes past eight. And, you know, when you're live, things happen. And you know what, you know, you just have to, you know, you just have to wait until it's sorted out. So welcome back. So we were talking about Reckon Africa, and so we're talking about Reckon Africa that have, in case maybe we, let me just start a little bit earlier, then maybe I wasn't live by the time I started. So now there's a recent report by the Parliamentary Standing Committee on the Natural Resources that has revealed some, as I said earlier on, that has actually revealed some troubling details about Reckon Africa and what they're doing. So Reckon Africa is a Canadian oil gas, it's an oil and gas company that has been exploring for oil in the Kavango Basin since early 2021. So, and now the issue here is, the matter here is that Reckon Africa started drilling without the proper permits or leaseholds. So a leasehold. So that they began operating in January 2021, but the necessary legal documents were only sorted out much later. So now the question is, now what is troubling then is that if a company can begin drilling in one of Africa's most ecological treasured areas, so without the proper permits, for example, what does that say about the strength or the weaknesses of our environmental governance system? So what does it say about our laws? What says about, you know, obeying and, you know, and our governance oversight? So now let's get into it. Let's break it down. Let me just break it down for you, and what the report actually is saying in the end, and what are the recommendations. So according to the report, so Reckon Africa, through its local subsidiaries, Reconnaissance Energy Africa Ltd, or REN, you can refer in short as REN, didn't have a leasehold when they started work. So the only consent they had was actually a letter from a Samju traditional authority. But guess what? That was also issued, you know, that was issued March 2021, 2 months after they already started drilling. So, well, if I can give an example, it's like building a house without a plan or a permission and then asking for approval afterwards. It just doesn't sit right. You understand? So, and that's not all. There is also an issue of water permits. So drilling operation requires access to water, and Namibian's law is clear about this. Our law are very clear about this. You need a permit to drill a boreholes, and you know, that's very clear. But now Reckon Africa drilled those boreholes. They drilled boreholes without securing the required water permits. So they didn't have actually water. They just started drilling. So now the permits were only issued in June 2021. So 5 months after they had already started operations. So that's a direct violation of the Water Act of 1956 and also the Water Resources Management Act of 2013. It is a serious oversight, and it is a racist question about how serious the company takes our laws. How serious do company actually take our laws? It's something that is very serious. And who is to blame? Who is to blame? And here's another thing. the licensing process itself was flawed. So the Ministry of Mine and Energy issued license to Record Africa without consulting key stakeholders, like the landowners and the traditional authorities, according to the standing committee, according to the parliamentary standing committee. This is not me saying this, okay? Don't say Mike said this is not. This is according to the parliamentary committee's report. So now, can you imagine someone coming into your land and start to dig without even asking? Just imagine that, the audacity. Maybe they are connected to someone that, you know, who is more powerful. Because just think about the audacity. Someone coming into your area and start digging without even asking. And that's essentially what happened here. So the report say that the ministry awarded the license without involving the custodians of the land, the traditional authorities, or the land board. So that's what the report saying. So it's not me saying that. So there was only one of the rents and leaseholding applications for the Kawe site. So the Kawe site has been approved, and yet operations are still ongoing to other sites like Bambi, like the other site on Bambi, where approval are still pending. So, but the operation is going on. So that's the Namibian way, my friend. That's the Namibian way. So, and if the operation are going on without knowing what is going, without the approval, so that means many things could happen. This is an ecologically rich area that we're talking about. So many things could happen without the government knowing what is going on. So now, this lack of consultation is not just a legal issue. It is a deep cultural one. It's also a deep cultural one. So the Kavango Basin is not just a potential oil field. As I said, it's a home to communities that have lived there for generations. So their voice matters. Their consent is required. Now, according to the report, Record Africa only consulted 4 key traditional authorities month after they have already begun operations. So the rest were only approached even later, in August and September 2021, 6 months after drilling had already started. So that is not consultation, that is an afterthought. That's an afterthought. So, and the other things then, what about accountability? It's something that we always talk about here. So what is about the accountability? The report points out that the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform failed to enforce penalties, even though Record Africa was drilling boreholes without the proper permits. They failed to enforce the penalties. So what is going on here? Excuse me. So the ministry officials tried to visit the drilling sites, but Record Africa refuses them the entry. Can you believe that? Can you believe that a company operating in our country, breaking our laws, and then refusing to let the government official doing their job? It is unacceptable. Come on, that is unacceptable. It is unacceptable. Now, the committee was clear. Okay, the committee was clear. This is a failure of institutional oversight. So it's a failure of institutional oversight. And this is just an example. It's just one example of many, 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 many other instances. So the Kavango East Land Board, in particular, dropped the ball. So they dropped the ball. So there is a lack of check and balances. And that's how companies like Recon Africa get away with operating outside the law. And you never know what they are doing. Imagine they're not allowing people to come and they're not allowing the official actually to come and supervise. Yeah? And that's why they get away, you know, they're operating away. Get away with operating outside the law. But here's another thing. Here's the thing. Okay. Now the thing is here. Now, so even though here there have been violations, this is according now to the committee. So even if there have been violations. So the committee noted that many locals, traditional authorities and citizens support oil and gas explorations. They support that. So even if there has been consultations. So they noted that now the committee noted that the many locals, the traditional authorities and citizens support oil and gas exploration. So people see the potential economic benefits, and that is, well, and that's understandable. So, but we have to balance that. We have to balance that with the need to protect our environment and ensure that everything is done legally and ethically. It doesn't matter. So we need to balance that with that. There is need to protect our environment. You don't care that because now they can just do whatever they want. So we need to ensure that everything is done legally and ethically. And probably now the committee is what the committee probably recommending. And so what next? The parliamentary committee has made some important recommendations. So they are calling for the exploration project to continue, but only if it is done with the full and prior approval from the law, from the landowners, from the farmers, from the village communities, and from traditional authorities. So the exploration project must continue, but only if those requirements are being if those requirements has been fulfilled. So there has been some full and prior approval from all the stakeholders, landowners, farmers, villagers, whoever, you know. So if that is met, then then the exploration should go ahead. So they also want the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy to keep close eye on the Recon Africa activities to make sure they comply with all the terms and conditions of their license. We have seen other exploring companies that were operating beyond their terms and conditions. The terms and condition of their license. So we have seen that either in the fishing sectors, we have seen that in mining sectors. So that the ministry has been lagging as well. The Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy has been lagging as well. And the committee has actually, you know, has asked the ministry to keep a close eye on Recon Africa's activities, just to make sure that they are complying with and they are within their law, within what their license is actually within their license. Okay, what their license actually permit. So, yeah, it is a step for the ministry. I think for the committee, it's a step in the right direction. But we need to hold our government and company like Recon Africa accountable. We need to hold them accountable. We can't afford to let our natural resources be exploited without proper oversight. So the Okavango Basin is a treasure. It is a treasure, and we need to protect it. We need to protect for ourselves and for our future generations. So we can't have it now exploited. This is a Canadian company, so they can exploit it and then leave. And what happened? We will be running to them asking for aid. We will be now, you know, clapping hands because the Canadian have actually given us some aid during the drought next year or something like that. Or people in that region are suffering and then they send some kind of... We will be doing that. Just because we have now our resources being rooted and being exploited, because of the lack of our government, because the government lack oversight. We need to do this. We need to bring this out and understand really what is going on. So, my dear listeners, we don't look issues like this for fun. All right? We're not just looking at this for fun. Eagle FM wants to play a role in informing you. Okay? And remember, an informed citizenry is a powerful force for change. Understand that. If we really want change, we need to be informed. Note that somewhere and have that in your mind if you're listening to me. An informed citizenry is a powerful force for change. So if you're so ignorant and you don't even know what is going on in your own areas and in your own, you know, in your own community, how do you involve in a conversation? How do you involve in a dialogue? How do you involve in a discourse of the country? So let's stay vigilant as we see what happened with Reckon Africa. So let's stay vigilant and demand accountability from those in power. So that's why I said this is my mission this year. Accountability. And bring out, you know, some of things that that requires to know and hold now the people accountable. So, well, stay curious, stay informed, and let's work together to build a better Namibia. That we deserve that, okay? And thousands of people in your area deserve that. So what do you think? So what do you think about Reckon Africa and what do you think about our own government, the way they go about this, how this happened? So this could be something that is happening elsewhere. So what do you think? What is your take? So our telephone number is 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So please do come through and have your reaction and your take and your opinion on that matter. So, and you're welcome to come through now and the line will be open for you.
Omudia with the Kirakaguna, Imatina, Omjo, Chicago Shafas and Anana, Longishifa, Yais, Yuikemoshiwana, Iamoyao, or Tangongotisamweni, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saisanina, Omaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House, Goe 20 Mimeha, Uka Kombanga Nena. Kara omkwashi pareki wimepo yo mo programa detu moambo dengera selma konara heta tuimu datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji Eagle FM the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
That's very true. This is your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. And right now you are on Unpacking the Day. And we are just unpacking the Okavango basins, the treasure of Okavango, of Okavango Basin. And it looks that it's being exploited, on our watch. So without nobody's looking, nobody is actually watching. And also without nobody knows what is going on. Nobody, you know, right procedures without following the rules. Okay. So yeah, that's what is happening. So yes, we talking about, the Recon Africa that has been, you know, operating in exploring oil and gas exploring in the Kavango basins. And the way they've gone about it, it's really not, it's undesirable, and probably not because of their own doing, just because of the loopholes in the system and a lack of oversight and really control in terms of, you know, a governance systems. So yeah, what do you think? Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So this is not something I'm saying. I'm relaying what the parliamentary committee is saying and the report that they have, you know, bring forth. They have written after the investigations that they have done in connection with that. So yes, the good thing is that because of the community, they are calling for the exploration project to continue. But of course, they're also recommending that it's done with a full and prior approval from all the stakeholders, landowners, farmers in the areas, village communities, and traditional authorities. So all must give a go ahead, because the areas in the Delta, Kavango Deltas is very sensitive. It's also, it's an area of, it's just not, what is that? It's a traditional home for people. It's a heritage, for people living in those areas. Yeah. So it's very important that they're involved. Their voice heard, in the decision. But it seems that, you know, the local people, and they want that to continue because they see an opportunity in that. So, but it's just that it hasn't been done according to the law. So, and that's the big concerns here. If things are happening, if things are just happening like that without oversight from the government side, so you never know what is happening. And you never know exactly what is going on. Yeah. So, Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Uncle Bona. How are you?
Fine. Thank you. How are you, man?
I'm all right.
Good.
Mm.
You know, these things, you know, I don't know why people take advantage of some of these things.
Yeah.
These are, yesterday you mentioned about the rule of law.
Mm.
And if people do not consider the social impacts, we know very well that those are rich, like you mentioned, areas.
Yeah.
And for the company, and the same applied to one company which was also in the newspaper, and the it was, I remember Minister, he was Deputy Minister for Mines and Energy, Cornelia Shirunga. I think she came and said, fine, the people who were given license just to explore and see whether they can find something.
Mm.
Then immediately after they have found out something, they didn't come and report that here is we have found something.
Yeah.
Then they now we can then now apply for now the drilling license.
Yeah.
Which was not done. And one sometimes wonder, is it really something that people are not really complying with the law?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something that even if it's now done, then what are the consequences?
Exactly, that's the thing.
Complied, mm. No, will you not have complied to the, you know, with the statutory principle provision?
Yeah. So, and this the committee is saying, with the parliamentary committee saying the penalty, the ministry hasn't actually enforced the penalties, and even when they issued the license, they themselves, the ministry itself, hasn't actually consult the other stakeholders, you know, the landowners, the villager committees, the farmers in their area, traditional authorities. So, and when the traditional also given, there was an Sambu traditional authorities was the only one who have given a go ahead, but it's actually done when the company was already doing the operation for almost maybe three months already. So the drilling of the boreholes, the whole exploration started without even consulting they did it from the backwards, you know? So everything has done from the backwards. But the danger is that without the oversight of the government, you know, or people knowing what they are doing, there could be other things that are being violated, exploited. Yeah.
So, what you are saying is correct. And I'm just wondering why, because if there are also these environmentalists, environmentalists?
Yeah, no, environmentalists, yeah.
Those who are usually, and I think this is not the first time. This thing has been coming in the news, in the radio, discussed, and all these things.
Yeah.
And I know one of your colleagues used to give us the feedback on that area.
Yeah.
Who was working here. You see. So those issues, if people are, because I think the compliance is very important.
Yeah.
That's very, very, very crucial. And if we do not comply with all this kind of, even this stock, stakeholders engagement.
Yeah.
So they are also regulated by, you know, laws.
Yeah.
And that, yes, like you said, everybody's supposed to have been consulted in that regard, because the community's aspiration and interests.
Mm.
And because these are the people who are going to benefit from those things. They should benefit
They should be benefiting. They are the one who should be benefiting directly from the project. Yeah, whatever is taking place. Yeah.
And one of your colleagues, one time we had a conversation, he was even talking when we were talking about why do people revolt and what. And we're talking about gas in Nigeria and everywhere. So because people don't feel, they feel left out, not only in the social benefit, the economic return from those investments. So, and this is very, very important. If that is the case, I'm still going to read it and analyze it very well as well.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's no more kind of excuse where you just somebody's giving them to explore and just look at it. And when it comes to this environmental impact assessment, because there are also areas where they say, yes, those who are not, who are objecting this idea, so please come forward. But despite, if in the absence of people really coordinated very well through their constituencies, leadership and all these things, like you say now, the traditional authority are not aware, some of them.
Yeah.
So they just see machine going on there because they think it's the government.
I think exactly, yeah.
It's the state. Mm. So they see NAMCOR, where they're given the permit, they're supposed to get the permit from the NAMCOR, Minister of Energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is where we have a lot of arrange kind of corruption and these things.
Mm. The big thing is that we know that there are certain things. Think of the Uyghur stories that we later find out that the Chinese company has been mining with the wrong license. So they have exploring license, but they started mining for 3 years, mining actually illegally. And the damage that has also done to the local peoples as well there. So these are the issues that you, and especially for the Kavango Delta, that area. So it's so sensitive and ecologically really, rich area that could be exploited in many ways. So it is a really serious and sensitive.
They have been doing that without a license now in this Kavango Delta. So the pollution of, is there some kind of contamination of water, some kind of contamination of those natural resources that are connected there? So are there some kind of, I know that they always produce some kind of effect. But yeah. Are they kind of now the damage? Are there some kind of water pollution, contamination, all these other things?
Yeah. Now, with Recon Africa, they actually started drilling and doing the work, doing the operations without the license, without approval, without the permits and all that. So probably other things are in order. It's just that has been the main thing that they started. Everything has been done from backwards. You understand?
But they're supposed to have even applied for some kind of, how do you call it? The one that at least, after you have now identified, discover something there, then you can now, maybe in principle, operate. Well, something you are waiting, but you need to wait for the approval from the authority. But then you might then, if it's so economically viable and like you are saying all these things, then you apply for just extension a bit and then you operate on the provisional license, for example, because I know the law can also allow that.
Yeah.
And so, but then if you are just doing it without even a sense of going to apply for these things and just doing it, that's very disregarding the legal intention of the laws and even the community, because the laws have to operate with those kind of looking at the interest, social interest of the people.
Exactly.
So that's where now you can now apply. So Mike, I think maybe sometimes it's good to hear now the feedback from the ministry.
Yeah.
So what has actually happened? Why are people just doing that? Is it because there are loopholes or just people don't want to comply, or what's exactly the issue is?
Yeah, no, I spoke to Nangombe yesterday, but he said he's not be able to be on air today. So,
Okay. No, it's fine.
But he's available at any time for that. Yeah.
Well, maybe people are also now feeling sensitive because the court proceeding and all these things. So they might be having that fear, but you just tell us what happened. You know, is it that they just want to get a license or they just felt that it's not necessary, or what is it?
Yeah. No, he wasn't just available at this time. Yeah.
Well, no problem.
Yeah.
So the time when it's convenient for him, I'm sure especially from that ministry, Meme Tulunga used to come on several times and the minister was there.
Ben Nangobe, yeah.
Okay, so now Ben Nangobe is there now.
Yeah.
No. That one is always available. You see his track from the Minister of Health. I have listened to him many times.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Mike, for the opportunity you have given unto me.
All right. No, thanks for coming through, So what is your take? So you do come through our telephone number. It's 083-366-091. 083-366-091. We are in Ondangwa Studio Live. All right. So you're most welcome. And if you want to comment on that one, come through. It's a concerning. It's really, really, really concerning. And from my point of view, it's very, 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 very serious. So we know how, without, and especially the concerning part is the lack of oversight from the proper oversight, from, the government side. So it's like, you know, you are given a free pass. It's like, you know, that's how people started actually to speculate and start to start thinking of, you know, start creating their own reality, of probably what is going on, you know. So in the absence of information and proper, procedures, so people will speculate and will fill in the gaps. So, and you don't want to do that. And in the process that create, that erode trust in institutions, in the government institutions, and you don't want have to happen. One has happened, so you are really, really, really in trouble. So, yeah, that's good because you hear that besides the violation, the committee noted that many locals and traditional authorities and citizens support the oil and gas explorations because the people see the potential. The economic potential, the potential economic benefits, and that's really understandable, and hopefully, but the people just needed to be consulted. The people just needed to be consulted, and we need to protect. As this is a very sensitive and area, it need to be to protect our environment. And ensure that everything is done legally and ethically. You can't just leave it to a company to do that on their own without any supervision. All right. So if you want to come through, and those are issues I believe it's not something, we have an example of that. Elsewhere in Namibia. So, this is just an example we want to highlight, to say this is what's happening. And when it's happening in your area, make sure, you hold accountable those are responsible and especially, the minister. It's good. This is coming. This is a report from a parliamentary committee it's good that, you know, they see what is happening and they recommending what the ministry should do. And, All right. So, yeah, do come through if you want to comment on that, or you want to, add your, or maybe you're in the area. You are in the area and, you see what actually this company is doing. And please do come through and give us that, you're from Rundu and that area, you know, not Rundu necessarily, but in the Kavango, region. And, so give us a call and then talk to us. Tell us what is happening and inform, the Namibian people and the public what is happening in your area in terms of that. So, yeah. All right. So now, have you heard the stories that making waves across the continent? This is also a story about money. It's a story about power. The growing gap between the super rich and the rest of us. A new report by Oxfam has dropped some shocking numbers. All right. So So just four African billionaires now have more, actually have more wealth than 750 million people combined. That's in Africa. So just four African billionaires now have more wealth than about 750 million people combined. So that's half of African populations, you know? So meanwhile, if now you think in terms of that, meanwhile, hunger is rising in Africa. Schools and hospitals are underfunded, you know, and ordinary people are struggling just to get by, you know? Now, those four rich Africans, those four richest Africans' wealth, we have Dangote, the Nigerian, and then you have Rupert and Oppenheimer, the family, the Rupert and Oppenheimer families, those are South African. And you have Sawiris, you know, Sawiris is an Egyptian. So they hold about 57.4 billion, you know, 57.4 billion. Now, you might ask, but how does this affect Namibia? So now, well, my friend, we are not really immune. We have seen our own wealth elite grow. Remember, when was it? Was it this year or last year? We're talking about how many millionaires that we have now in Namibia. So we talked about millionaires we have in Namibia. So while many Namibians still actually faces unemployment, so higher food prices and lack of basic services. So we're talking about the gap, you know, of a small elite number of people and then the majority. While the majority are still facing, you know, unemployment, you know, high inflations and a lack of basic services. So we're definitely not immune, you know. It's just that that's more continental, but it's exactly we can bring it in our own zone and be able to relate to exactly that. Remember, when we debated, you know, wealth taxes last year, you know, or when some activists demanded better social grant, and so that means this isn't just a somewhere else problem, you know, it's not just somewhere else problems. It is actually our problems. It is our problem. So now. Now, let's look at what is this all about. Now, Africa's wealth gap, okay, is wide and fast. The wealth gap, it's more like, you know, remember Namibia? So when it's come to unequal distribution of wealth, you know, unequal distribution of the wealth, that we are second in the world, South Africa the first. So now, that wealth gap is widening also in Africa, all right? Not just now, just think of Namibia now, in terms of Namibia now, think of that in Africa this is happening. In 2000, there were zero African billionaires. In 2000, there were zero African billionaires. Today, 23. So we have about 23, with their fortunes growing by 56%. In just 5 years. So their fortune growing in, just growing by 56% in just 5 years. So at the same time, you know, I'm just giving you that we're talking about the gap that is really growing fast. At the same time, 7 out of 10 of the world's poorest people, 7 out of 10 of the world's poorest people now live in Africa. That's a crisis, my people. That's a crisis. That's absolutely a crisis. So, and here is the big, 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 big issue. Okay? The big issue. Have you watched, what is that? The Zulu on my stoop? Is that where is it? The big issue? All right. So, and here's the big issue. Now, many governments, including ours, are not taxing the rich enough. So we're not actually taxing the rich enough. And well, this is not what I'm saying. This is also FAB report. Okay. So, it's not me who's saying that. So, excuse me, what is going on with me? So, across Africa, wealth taxes make up just 0.3% of GDP. 0.3% of GDP. Yet, now, the VAT and, say, fuel hikes affect the poor. They affect the poor the hardest. So, now, think about our own fuel prices protest and when the prices go up, when the fuel hikes, and all debates over the tax fairness, you know, last year, something like that. So the report says, Africa leaders are failing to fix this. So they're failing to fix this. Instead of taxing the super rich, instead of actually taxing those people that are super rich, many countries, and in most cases, they are pressured by the IMF and World Bank. So they are cutting now the, they're cutting like health services and education budget to pay. They're actually cutting the budget of health and education in many African countries. They're cutting those budgets just to pay debt, So, and well, Namibia knows this story too. We also know that story. So now, how many times have we heard, you know, no money for grants? And not long time ago, there was actually a schools being shown in the Kavango region. I think it was in Rundu. I'm not too sure where it is. So schools need repairs. And today, if you look in one of the newspapers, I think, can't remember, over 900 or 9,000? Okay, it doesn't register now. Over 900. You know, there are still over 900 classes that are using, that are not in brick wall facilities. So, and yet, luxury cars, elite estates, they keep popping up in Windhoek suburbs, you know. They keep popping up. Go to certain some areas. You know, so now let's also talk about the report also talk about corruptions. Okay, so we're not going to talk about Namco one. So, but the corruption. So 88 billion leaks out of Africa yearly through just shady deals, you know? Money that couldn't build, this is the money that could have been built schools, could have, like, you know, as we talk about. And also, we're talking, could have been actually schools. And like the ones we have our unemployed qualified teacher protesting. So this is not 88 billion, it's not for Namibia. This is money leaks out of Africa, as I said, yearly. Through shady deals, you know, illicit, you know, deals. So, and I'm just saying, those money could be used to build schools in Africa. Like I said, we have issues with our own unemployment of qualified teachers and so on. So now there's also something. There are also solutions. There are also solutions. The in terms of this now, so the Morocco and South Africa, they tax, they actually tax property more fairly. So this country, Morocco and South Africa, they tax property more fairly. And we have Seychelles, reduced inequality by investing in a free healthcare education. I mean, healthcare and education. Things Namibia used to be, I mean, we used to pride, you know, to pride ourselves on. So, and definitely we can also say that. So now imagine we tax the richest, even 1% more, just 1% more. So that could then be able to fund, you know, if in Namibia, that could be able to fund then our, you know, that's the SDGs, like universal electricity, universal access to electricity. So that could actually be able to fund that universal electricity or better classrooms, the classroom that we're talking about. But the problem is many leaders, here and elsewhere in our country and also elsewhere are backsliding on the workers, right? And fair wages. So, and remember our own minimum wage debate. So if we don't act, Oxfam warns instability will grow. And we have seen what happened when people get desperate. We can say that, look at our youth, being frustrated. So that could be very dangerous. Now, so Namibia, we cannot really ignore this. We cannot really ignore this. Wealth is not missing. It is just piling up in a few hands. So even in Namibia, the wealth is not missing. It's just piling up in a few hands. So, and the question is, do our leader have the courage to fix it? So we go on as unequal distribution of wealth. And as I said, the hands are just piling up in a few hands. So do our leader have the courage to fix it? Or will we keep seeing the same struggles while the elite get richer? So while that gap becomes bigger and bigger and bigger? Well, Colin, so what do you think? So should Namibia tax the super rich more? Should we tax the rich more? Or is there a better way? So let's chat. Our time is about 56 minutes past the hour of 8. So you're most welcome to come through and have your opinion. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So, you're welcome to think to Ken. What do you think? Should Namibia tax the super rich more? Or is it there a better way? So, you're most welcome to come and have your opinion and your take on this one.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafat and Anana, Longishifa, Yais, Yikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo, what is a money? Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitombanawa, Orangika.
tseithanena omayakulo niilandithomwa yoye yongeshefa yoye okupitila mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoye tweende twiimemeha uuka kombaanga nena. Kala omukwashipaleki gwimwepo yomooprograma detu. Moambo dhengela Selma konola 8-1-3-7-6-5-4. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
So welcome back. So our time is about 1 minute to 9 o'clock. All right, you still tune in into Unpacking the Days and Unpacking the Day, not the days. All right, Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, the rich are not taxed enough, are not being taxed enough, and that would make a difference. And many governments, including ours, are not doing so. And who are actually feeling the pinch. And we're talking about, you know, the gap that is actually growing is not only in terms of a country like the wealth distribution in Namibia, but it's also on a continental level. So the rich, there are little few rich people that actually, you know, yeah, moving away from the larger group of the rest of the people. And that becoming a really serious concern. That's a report, giving us that, you know, Oxfam report, telling us that just for African billionaires now have more wealth than 750 million people combined. And if you think of that, that's actually half of the African population. So, yeah. And as I said earlier on, hunger is still rising. School and hospitals, are underfunded and ordinary people are struggling just to, you know, to get by. So, and slowly by slowly that gap, as it's becoming larger and larger and larger. So what do you think? So as I asked earlier on, what do you think? Should Namibia tax the super rich? Excuse me. Should super rich more, the rich more, or there's maybe a better way, you know, to do that? So do come through. Have your opinion. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So, yeah. So where are you and where do you find yourself this morning? Hopefully you're at work and, teachers and, you know, you are now, at work. You know, teachers actually dead to lead man. I don't get hardly land, man. You know, of any of them are put in a man. So, yeah. all right. So, yeah. What do you think? What is your take? So, and otherwise, we're going to get into, I'm getting to this something interesting here also. All right. But you can come through. So you're most welcome to come through and comment and say whatever you want to say or react to any item that we have brought to you already. So yeah, you know, and this is interesting. You know, we grab our phone and you grab our phones every day. And we ask them for, let's say maybe for the weather. We type message. We search for informations. And most of the time, we do it in English. Okay, most of the time we do it in English. So, but what if your phone, your computer, could truly understand you in Oshiwambo or in Oshiarero? Or what if you could speak Damara or Tamaranama or Kwangari as well as you do? What if you can? To your phone, if your phone and your computer. Well, it might sound like something from the movie or something far-fetched in Namibia, but a country in West Africa is trying to make it a reality. And it has some big, big lesson for us right here at home, I think right here in Namibia. So the country is, you know, you give that drum. So the country is actually Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso. Like Namibia, they have an official language from colonial times, which is actually French. And but also, like Namibia, they have vast majority of people in their homes and communities speak local languages. Now, their government has realized something very important. So this new wave of technology called artificial intelligence or AI is changing the world. They realize that it's changing the world. So, but if it only speaks French or English, then most of their citizens will be left behind. You understand? So, especially those in the rural areas, and which is exactly the same here. Now, so they are now launching a major project. They are launching a major project. So they want to teach AI to understand and speak their local language. So they want to teach AI to understand and speak their local languages. So the idea is to make technology work for everyone, not just a selected few in the cities that can speak English, you know. So they see this as a way to improve education. It's not just something for fun. They see this as a way to improve education, to give people better access to government services, and crucially, to create a new tech job for their young people. So now let's bring this conversation home to Namibia. Okay? Let's really, and that's the whole idea, let's bring it home. So when I hear this story, when I read this story, I don't just hear about Burkina Faso. I hear our own story. I really hear our own story. So we talk a lot about building an inclusive Namibia. We really talk about, we have to build an inclusive Namibia. And we talk about leaving no one's behind. Remember? So the slogan. But what does that really mean in 2024? In 2024, this was the slogan. So, leaving no one behind. Has that worked? Excuse me. All right. Something is just not right with me today. Okay. So now, has that worked? Haven't we left? So, leaving no one's behind? A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
How are you, man?
I'm good. Mike, I want to, I know you're talking about AI and those things.
Yeah.
But I want to just ask
but,
you.
But do you know in which context I was talking it?
Have yeah, you heard, the language. You're talking about the language models changing and basically going, reversing what happened at the Tower of Babel. That's what they want to do. They want to reverse what happened at the Tower of Babel. So that we can all speak one language, no matter what language we speak. We speak the language of AI.
Yeah, but okay, I understand where you're coming from, but that's not what it actually means. But what the Burkina Faso are trying to make, I'm trying what the Burkina Faso are trying to make. So they want to use AI, you know, to understand and speak their local languages. So then that would improve now that will give now their people a better access to the government, you know, the government services, improve educations and create a new tech job for their young people. So they want that when you're using now the computer or phone, you do it in your own language rather than do it in French or English.
Yeah, you can do that. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
But what I know is that it will end up a bubble. That's where it will end up. It can start for all the good. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. All the good intentions in the world, right?
Yeah.
That is what they use to pave the road that goes to hell. So it's not a problem. Go ahead. They can go ahead. But me, I have another concern this morning.
Yeah.
My concern is, you know, I want to know Namibia's point of position when it comes to where do we stand? World War III is about to kick off. And on one side, it's the G7. One side, it's BRICS. We are going to get pulled in, or we should make a clear stance and say, are we going to be pulled in? And in which direction are we going to be pulled in, or are we going to remain outside? You know,
that is
just clear. You heard what Trump was saying quite recently. He was talking about there was more war talk from him, and it's with regards to the death of the US dollar. So he said that is a tantamount to war. You know, so if that is the case, where does Namibia stand? Other countries are joining BRICS. I wonder, should we join it or not?
Just quickly hold on. That's an advert that we need quickly coming up, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
All right. So, go ahead then. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So my concern, especially with regards to our government not pronouncing itself, you know, and not trying to maybe even join with the BRICS countries, and also given that there's a BRICS currency, I don't know if it's already out. I want to know where we stand with regards to that, because we are heading to a world war, and even whether it's physical war or whether it's economic, it's going to be a war, and we might get caught in the crossfire. When elephants fight, you know, the grass. So we, the grass, we need to do something.
Are you powerful enough to do something?
No, to join. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
If we join BRICS, at least we have an outcome. But apparently, we are going to be get 10% duties immediately.
Whoever came up with an idea of BRICS, it definitely was something to, you know, fight against something, you know. So there are objects. You're getting on the boat that has a mission already to achieve. You're actually just supporting their, you know, well, there are benefits that maybe you're getting, but you're supporting on something bigger than what you are actually. So
now my question is, Why are we not agreeing with the mission? Because the BRICS is there to break dollar dominance. It's there to break the hold, the stranglehold that the US has had on the whole world.
Yeah. So exactly, just it's this is a fight for the superpowers, and you just choose which side I am. You know, yeah, you just choose which side it's more beneficial for me, rather than actually you are in the fight. You are not in the fight.
No, we don't need to be in the fight, but we do need to be members, I believe. It's just about strategy. What is more strategic for Namibia, in terms of our biggest, partner is South Africa, and South Africa is very big in BRICS. And if, you know, we don't make a move or we don't even think about it, that's going to be a mistake. If we're going to stay out of World War III or whatever it is, fine, no problem. But are we going to join BRICS or not? That's the question.
But the question is not as simple as that. It's not up to you just to say, I want to join BRICS. There are certain criteria that you need to meet for you to be a member. It's not an open door kind of a group. Anyone comes through. No, there are also economic criterias and qualifications.
Recently, the additions to BRICS are Ethiopia,
and I think Iran
UAE.
Yeah,
and there's another E country that's also there. They've all joined with BRICS now. So I don't believe that the criteria is beyond our reach. The only question is, do we have the will or the desire to do so? Is it beneficial? And if we don't talk about that or we don't pursue whether that is something that can be done, then how will we ever know? Especially the masses. You know what I mean? So that is something that needs to be investigated, because maybe we should no longer be part of this UN. The UN, I think, has failed in my book.
Yeah.
The UN has failed and is busy crumbling right now. It's going to probably be disintegrated very soon. But, you know, I think that if the UN falls, the AU has no bearing, no strength anymore. So what are we going to do as the grass? That's my question.
Yeah, it you can always transform it to what is contemporary. What is your pressing issues? Rather than stick to some principles that don't work anymore, maybe the whole idea at that time is to liberate Africa, and we have done that. And sometimes many institutions and country find it very difficult to transform themselves. It's sometimes very difficult for also, you know, a country from fighting colonialism to actually now fighting, you know, neocolonialism or fighting poverty and social issues. So
yeah,
so it's very difficult for some to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Good man, thanks for coming through. Yeah. All right. It's taken me away from, you know, what I'm, this exciting news. Okay. All right. So, no, I was talking about, okay, you can come through. Please do come through. And there are other things that we have talked to earlier. So sure, you're most welcome to come through and have your contribution on that. Very interesting that we were talking about what is the country? Where am I? Somebody have just, you know, pushed my, so what is the country? What am I talking about? I'm talking about Burkina Faso. I remember now. So, right. So we're talking about that, you know, the government has realized something, very important. They realize that
this new wave of technology.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Michael, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, man. Sorry, man, I just tuned in on now when you are talking to Anonymous.
Oh.
About bricks or something.
Yeah, but that's actually not the topic. He took me out of what I was saying. I was even saying something very, very, very important, you know? Now, which is also something probably you is something that you always emphasize. You talk about Burkina Faso all the time.
Yeah.
So their government, what they have done, they want now to, how say it? You know that they realize that there's a wave of technology now called, AI, artificial intelligence now.
Yeah.
And they realize that it's actually changing the world. So, but if it's only in French or English, that won't be able to help their citizens. You understand? So what they do, they are now launching a major project. They want to teach now AI to understand and speak their local languages. So the idea is now to make technology work for everyone in their country, not just the selected a few who can speak.
Who understand
English. And the whole idea is to see, the whole idea is to improve education, is to be able the people to give people better access to the government services, and also create that new tech job for their young people. So it's actually now you could be in whatever town. We're in the rural. So when they go to internet, they are not just actually do it in English. They do it in their own language.
Yeah. You know what, my brother?
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. When you are crying for lack of a lot of people are not in Embroy in Namibia.
Yeah.
This one of the things, because now, look, how many times I told you that when I went to our farm, the other side of our mountain, you have to climb the tree. Because there's no internet, network, the network itself.
Yeah.
So for me to call you, I have to look for which tallest tree we can make so I can make a call.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of the things. And now you have a smart city like Windhoek. Where
it's not a smart city yet. It's not a smart city yet. Not at all. Not even close.
No. They have it. That's real good.
They just have an idea of becoming a smart city, but they're not a smart city yet. You know.
Exactly.
A smart city is not in terms of just your technology, in terms of phone. It means a lot of...
Infrastructure. Yeah. You talk about load.
Exactly.
Imagine even now. Okay. Now you become a smart city. You want to order, but I'm staying in
Mandume, don't even think about becoming a smart city. Come on. There are other important things.
We
dreamed about being, what is that? About being industrialized by 2030. How many years left? It's 5 years. We are not even close, not even an inch.
It's what I'm saying. You know why we are suffering? It's because of what? The English.
Yeah.
So much things are just in English, my friend. But our bylaw, you talk about the policies, you talk about a lot of things. Things are not explained in our language.
Yeah.
Where everybody can understand. Our cocoa, even independent, can understand.
Yeah. I remember, mm-hmm. just remind me, I was in Pretoria University. I was a friend to a couple of white guys, you know?
Yeah.
And I actually was doing better than them. And I was telling them, you see, it's so difficult for me. Some of them are English, you know, they are coming from English families.
From England.
And they speak English. And I said, for you, you read once a sentence and you understand what it means.
For me,
I have to read it maybe four or five times. And go and check somewhere, make reference to understand just one word, you know.
I'm telling you.
So, and I still actually come in front of you. Imagine if I was actually speaking I actually understand the language. It was my vernacular. If it was this done in my own language.
My friend,
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying we adapting things with really. That's why today we are not moving anywhere in the country because we are requiring a lot of paper. The person must have a paper.
Yeah.
But sometimes a person is just having that knowledge, talent.
Mm.
And because it doesn't have a paper, it's not going anywhere. We know we cannot work with this person. You see? But go to England. England, the people who are sometimes are even the manager who are factory manager, it doesn't even have a grade 10.
Yeah.
But it's a manager who is controlling the whole production.
Mm.
From production to dispatch, he's the one. But he doesn't have anything. He doesn't even know how to write your name.
Ah, come on. There are doctors that, you know, you kind of question or whatever.
Yeah, how did question. He get it? Yeah. It's the same with Angolan. We are schooling them with tenacity. You ask, we're wondering how this guy get in here.
Yeah.
Eh? If he get, how did he pass? But you see, we have people who are passing the what to make it to go to the university. But the Angolan is getting away with it and he cannot even pronounce any two words. In English.
Yeah.
That's the problem I think we have in our country. Because now, let us embrace our local language. Because I'm telling you, once you have come there, like now I'm talking to you, because I'm too much Kwanyama in me, in English. When I'm talking to you in English.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are like, no, this guy is not educated. But me, I'm having a lot of qualifications, my friend.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, wherever people are looking at to you, they want you to have that proper English of like Saki Shangal and the others. How serious? Because of the pronounce, they even like looking up to you down already.
Yeah. I think you are not. That is actually something wrong with that person already. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's what mostly we are promoting in our country.
Yeah. So it's not about, you know, if you can, you can. But if you can, how many Chinese or any other, or even European that are coming from, like maybe you have a French.
Talk about even the Germans.
German, yeah, exactly. They don't speak proper English.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but the most important things here, and that's which we should be applaud about for Burkina Faso is that, you know, when you talk about the AI, so. This is what can be able to generate certain things. You could be sitting, actually, a farmer could be able to solve problems just by, you know, getting this from the AI. You understand?
Exactly. And
that it becomes, you know, you don't need to go and sit in some kind of a meeting to learn that, to be able to solve a problem. You don't need access. If there is an application that have the subject, for example, in your language, imagine, you know, you're studying agriculture subject, you know,
okay, and that's, now you can get it in your language.
And that subject isn't actually in your language.
It will help. That's why I'm saying, so, we have young people like now who's letting the minister of what information.
Yeah.
What is they up to? Up to now, my friend, if you are talking, we never learn even during the corona.
Yeah.
You know, they try to introduce e-learning.
Mm,
it will not work because we know how many teachers are able to even send what?
Yeah.
To send the email in exactly. their with using their laptop.
Yeah.
Or even from their phone. It's impossible. And now, up to now, we are quiet when it comes to IT. We are not doing anything in school, seriously.
That's why
the other time I was talking to you, or maybe to another guy, I'm saying no, even at a VTC level, we supposed to introduce already A+, where people are trained to be, software and hardware.
Yeah.
But it's not happening, because nobody's pushing for that agenda, but we are going to be caught crossfire.
Yeah, but the problem, because the biggest problem is that...
We're already in there.
The biggest problem is that, as much I was talking about the inequality gap based on the last article, I mean the last items that I was talking about, in terms of there are few people in Africa that are becoming so much rich, and the rest of the people are actually left behind. You understand?
Getting poor and poor, everything.
Yeah, poorer and poorer, and you have a little elite that are becoming so filthy rich, okay? So this is exactly the same thing. It would come like, you know, technology would actually then isolate number of people. You will have actually a group of few people that then have access and to technology and can be able to become and have access to the world wealth knowledge. But then you have a majority that actually still left behind.
And yes, I'm telling you.
And that becomes a problem when it comes now to economic growth, because you will have most of people coming from outside, coming in your country, to do much of the work.
Go to the country like Rwanda. How many do you think in Rwanda, maybe few percent, like 2% are using only Katoshi. But go to Namibia. To Namibia, I'm telling you. Yeah. How many people are using Katoshi up to date?
Because we're using Katoshi because of the network. That will tell you how
fast are we catching up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that will tell you already. But the problem, I'm not blaming anybody using Katoshi, but the problem is that we are not pushing anything at all from the ground, like in our direct language.
Yeah.
We are not doing anything. Just imagine even like things which we symbol, like a way maybe installed in, let me put it in Ministry of Health clinic, where you are going there, instead of, because this person has come from Nileta Mizekalas, then he find himself in Enana hospital. They must be in that place. Yeah. No, he can just use a phone. This phone can do everything.
Exactly.
Translate to the grandmother to understand. Mm. Translate to the lady who's a Nessa.
Yeah. I mean, even if you have a foreigner coming in the country, you know, you could easily speak English like, okay, good morning. And then the sound that comes and say, good morning, Paul. John, I'm looking for what, you know, exactly like that. You communicate.
Exactly.
You communicate
very well.
Instantly, right there. And
that will be a job creation also, my friend.
Exactly.
Not a job.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But you are here complaining like, no, there's no job in for you. There's no what.
Yeah.
How can you, if you are not empowering anything, you are not trying to catch up with the world?
Yeah, that's why. Where does our soft engineering, or how do you call them, that type of people?
Yeah, those are who are telling it. Yeah, exactly.
To do this, you know?
They have been taken up by those small companies, and, you know, they never get a chance. Because now they have a knowledge, but at the end of the day, there's no what funds for them to go ahead or anything.
We need innovators, you know.
Exactly.
And entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
So that's what we need.
That is the truth.
Yeah. Man? We come to the end.
Yeah,
of the
I see your time is up, my brother. Thank you very much.
All right, no, thanks for coming through,
All right.
All right. Our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9, and that's actually bring us to the end of unpacking the day today. Let's do this again tomorrow at the same time on the same station. Here on Eagle FM. And from me, I wish you a pleasant day ahead and a good listening for the rest of the programs that are coming your way. And coming up right now is Hermut coming with Mind the Gap. So stay tuned and for the next program that is coming up. So from me, Michael Chiavelli, until tomorrow. Goodbye.